Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And we have some big news. Actually, I broke the big news yesterday to you, but I have some insightful information regarding that big news. And hopefully you, the listener, will be able to take advantage of this opportunity. And so this show was sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only, and you know, I'm not the only person that is spouting this, but to be clear, and I kind of explained this to a lot of people that as they kind of come on board, because they honestly think that I'm out here trying to peddle books and trying to make money for myself and creating an empire and an entrepreneurial endeavor and so forth. And that couldn't be further from the truth. That is not my, nor is it my intent in working with everybody that I've been working with in trying to create a lucrative opportunity for us to get rich. That is not the case. You can talk to everybody that's associated with this organization that our intent is to literally take the money that we receive. Every penny that I've gotten from the books has gotten right back into helping propagate this information. And as I was beginning to state, there are people, there are organizations that are starting to pick this up. They're starting to recognize that this really is the only hope. And some of these organizations are rather big, and some of them are, I'll just say, big on the inside, but maybe small in appearance. And so let's not judge the book by the cover. And as a matter of fact, when I was publishing my first book, I got a lot of people that complained about the cover because it was just hard to read because of the contrast of blue and red and so forth. And I said, well, so you're a judge the book by the cover type of person then. And they were guilty as charged. But anyway, you are listening to the only show. And even though I went down this tangent, I'm not the only person that is starting to espouse this message, this ideal. I do have copyrights on the intellectual property of extrapolating and how I garnered out of all of this stuff. But again, those copyrights have nothing to do with the financial profits or windfall financially or anything like that. That is literally to guard this message to ensure it doesn't get purchased, it doesn't get sold, and it doesn't get buried. Because 9 times out of 10, some of the greatest ideas have been bought out by those who perceived it as a competition and or a threat to what they were trying to do and literally tried to bury things. I mean, there's all sorts. Tucker is a good movie of that as well, where Tucker was not one that was willing to sell out to the competition. And if you haven't seen the movie, go see what happens to Tucker. And we're trying to do our very best to ensure that that does not happen to us as well. As I've said, and yesterday was great to have Chad dial in. I need to ping back to him and say, hey, why don't you come back on and kind of tell people a little bit about you, your background and so forth. Because I want people to understand these are everyday good patriot guys and gals that are coming up in the ranks that they are not some senator's son, as you know, in the It Ain't Me by Creedence Clearwater Revival. And as I talk about maybe tomorrow, if not tomorrow, Friday, my tribute to John McCain, that song was kind of, you know, he may not have been a senator's son, but he definitely was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And so there are lots of really good, humble men and women that are coming up in the ranks who really want to serve. But the message that they need to get is how and what they need to do. That's why we're focused on them. We're focused on trying to educate them. That's why I need money to get out to these states to present these ideas to these state legislators, as well as trying to get them to the people. I think the most effective events that we're going to be able to hold in 2019 and 2020 will be going to your county, to your state, and presenting to you as well as your state legislators when they're not in session. We want to get them together with the electorate, and we want to do rodeos. We want you to understand how to make them commit to Republic Review and committing to protecting all of us from federal tyranny. And the best way to do that is with rodeos for Republic Review. And our most effective time will be in the campaign season of 2020, when we travel around and hopefully we'll have rodeos in several states and be able to literally get everybody together in one room with the electorate and all of the conservative candidates. You know, I'm using air quotes here. It's a conservative, supposedly, right? That are wanting your vote and putting the targets on their chest, on their foreheads, their backs, whatever we can put the target on, and basically let them know that if they want your support, if they want your vote, they have to call for an audit and Republic Review, and they have to do the difficult job, the heavy lifting, the menial task of actually cleaning up the federal government once and for all. And I have faith that they can do this. I have faith in you in getting them to do this. I just hope that you have faith in the message. And the only way you can have that faith is one by listening to the show and or by reading the content and so forth. And so there's plenty of mechanisms out there now that people can start getting this message. I'm going to tell you, and I've said this several times, I'm going to continue to say this, there will be lots of conservatives that will run and hide from this, or actually those that think they can have some leverage in trying to find fault with this will actually try to stand up against this. And that is only because it is a self-serving defensive posture that they are taking. This action that they will take in trying to, you know, ping or trying to find fault in Republic Review and this audit process, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with their market and their money and what they are going to be able to do. So hopefully you'll start recognizing over the next 2 years just how dedicated we are to these local leaders in the state legislature, as well as the grassroots leaders within the party, to getting these folks dialed in to the details of what needs to happen so that we can call this audit. So let me move forward a little bit. You know I like to grovel, but let me put one thing before that. I mentioned yesterday that the crowdfunding is set up. It is set up, and it's almost like the heavens parted yesterday when I got the email from GoFundMe. You know, hallelujah, the crowdfunding is now available for you to actually go online and look at, go through the details. I'm going to actually up the ante because I'm hoping that we can get the funding to add Keith Broders to this so that I have Keith, myself, and a videographer. The videographer will be John Charleston, and he's captured a few of my events in the past, but we hope to be able to capture this because we don't have to spend a lot of money. If we capture the content, if we capture the message, that's all we really need to do to get it into your home so that we don't have to travel into every neighborhood. I know people like to have, you know, the person right there, and, you know, that type of, you know, intimacy and so forth. We don't have time to do that. One of the things I have to start dealing with is start prepping people to start actually articulating this concept and message to the rest of you so that I can be, because I can't be in two places at once. So that message, even though I can't be there, that message can be delivered in multiple places at the same time. And that's my whole intent. Again, this is not about me. This is not about the few people that are a part of this. This is literally about you, us, our liberty, and our posterity, and saving liberty for our posterity. So anyway, if you got time, go check out the CrowdFundMe page. And if you look at the pricing and what I'm doing, and actually what will end up happening is I will be posting the pictures of the receipts or the total cost of what things were. So if I have some cash left over, that will be carried over for the next event and what have you. Believe you me, this is not a one-time thing. This is not just a one event. You know, I'm going on a road trip. I never saw the Grand Canyon, and I've never have seen the Grand Canyon. But this isn't about a vacation. This is really about work. This is really about getting out and working with people and leading. And so I'm okay with going out there and leading and getting other leaders to join in this cause. So I hope you're okay with that. And I hope you can start sponsoring this. I will say this, as I've told you for the election process, if everybody just, you know, had a normal contribution of $2, it doesn't have to be, that's half a tank of gas a week. If you could contribute just a little bit, a lot of little contributions make a huge difference. We'll be able to start actually getting people around. I would love to have Trevor Lawton. Trevor Lawton's not asking for money, you know, huge honorariums or anything like that. He just wants to be out there to help win back this country. Many of these people, and Trevor Lawton is one of them. When I sat down with him, I asked him, are you ready to retire? Are you ready to support a cause that will end our need to selling books and educating people? And he goes, absolutely. I am all in. I want to be able to get back to what I really want to do and those entrepreneurial business things that he does and the things that I want to do as well. We're all wanting to stop fighting government. That is nobody's desire. And so with that, I can tell I just hit the hard break. And so when we come back, I will do a little groveling. And we have some news to talk about. And we're going to talk about Hamilton barriers and bubble wrap parenting. So I think you'll find that kind of interesting. So please hang on and stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And it just dawned on me that I forgot to tell you what number to dial in. So that's why I have those pre-recorded comebacks from break, so that you would at least get that phone number. So I'm bad about that. So anyway, yeah, if you want to call in, 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK, T-O-P-T-A-L-K. as I've been saying, I've been groveling. I've got this crowdfunding. Now there is another way that you can help support this effort. We cannot do this alone. Jefferson clearly stated that it took money to be able to, and as a matter of fact, he didn't necessarily be the, he wasn't the author of this concept. This was actually from Adam Smith and the Wealth of Nations, that it does take money to function, to operate government. And I'm paraphrasing, but bottom line is the whole point of the people involved in self-governance is to ensuring that government isn't becoming opulent in spending your money and creating, you know, a world of unnecessary government and protections for themselves. And so if you don't have money, but you have time, you have a phone, you've got a computer, you have resources that can really help this cause. And in doing so, all you've got to do is send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will also tell you, and especially if, are you fed up with Facebook and their deletions of accounts and their rejections and or deletions of posts, you know, posting things as spam. Many times I actually posted something about the honeybees being attacked in Ohio or Iowa, where there's about 100,000 bees that were killed by these vandals, and they blocked it just because I'm a notorious poster for, you know, conservative things. And if you're tired of that, I just ask you, go check out theconstitutionclub.ning.com. Look into your state, look into your county, and you'll probably be able to find yourself a beckoning and welcome forum where you can actually have unfiltered dialogue regarding patriotic issues, especially if you live in an area where I live, where you've got a Beninsky sheriff that wants to, you know, kind of spy on the patriots and kind of keep them in check, which is really pathetic for the area that I live in, because most of the people out in this area are very conservative. How in the heck a sheriff got so entrenched under the Republican, you know, umbrella is beyond me. But anyway, and people out here just have to wake up. But anyway, if you're looking for a place where you can have conversations that, you know, an open dialogue type of conversation, posting things, getting ideas, getting, you know, things formulated and moving, I would highly recommend, because this is actually a very sweet forum for doing it, constitutionclub.ning.com, okay? And so if you want to get involved, by the way, they're also going to be doing this, what do we call that? The recension of the 17th Amendment. So there you go. I mean, if you want to get involved, the Constitution Club will help you get involved. They'll give you the email addresses. So all you've got to do one night is send out email addresses to all concerned in all these different states. And you'll feel, I think you'll be able to sleep better at night knowing that you're actually contributing. Anyway, as you know, I do appreciate those of you that are tuning in. That is another way you can get involved. And by sharing this radio shows content, my websites, and all the other things that are supporting and other organizations that are supporting us, that is another great way to get involved. The GoFundMe is nice. And oh, by the way, I didn't tell you, if you search for Reclaiming the Republic on GoFundMe, you'll actually see the video, the content right there, the costs and all of that. And like I told you, I will be posting either the receipts or links to the receipts, because I'll probably put the receipts either on the Reclaiming the Republic website or Republic Review website or 1798 Part 2, one way or the other. We will have full transparency, because I don't want anybody to think that we're actually trying to make our lives better. I have an outgoing message and or propaganda, or what do you want to call it, a promo, where I talk about the fact that I'm not looking to live, an opulent lifestyle or have, you know, highfalutin, you know, standard of living. I am not, and the people that I work with are not trying to do that. These are good, honorable, righteous, humble men and women that are a part of this cause. So anyway, as I always do, I did look through the news, and I've got some news for you today. but there is no sign within the news that the federal government is going to surrender any of its unconstitutional powers, which means that you and I are going to have to do it. So let me give you something to think about. And while I was talking and thinking about this GoFundMe concept, it has become kind of apparent, and we've talked about it a few times, that it seems like this GoFundMe or crowdfunding phase in our culture right now has become very lucrative and a very great opportunity for progressives. And it seems like the progressive campaigns, just, you know, almost all of them, like Ford, who, you know, tried to testify and tried to bring Kavanaugh down, and these other people like Strzok and so forth, they just seem to walk away within a day with millions of dollars, quarters, millions of dollars, what have you. And on the, you know, converse side of that, or conversely, the conservative campaigns really seem to struggle. They don't seem to enjoy any success out there. And why is that? Well, that's because most conservatives are either feeling the pinch, or they don't recognize the value of, you know, what they need to spend money. It's the same thing with elections. I've been poking the businesses in our local area in the eye for the past year and a half, because they need to, at least, they don't have to outspend Soros, but they have to spend. You cannot, and I said it today, if you're a business that you can't even afford to write a decent check, you know, like, you know, $25, $100 or something like that to somebody's campaign, then you ought to have your butt out in front of your business every morning waving, you know, the Rob Chase banner, so that you let people know that you're supporting Rob Chase and you want people to vote for him. He's the one guy in the local area that's taking on the globalist and the shifting of power and the public utilities from the Avista company out to socialized Canada, to where they're going to jack up the rates of the good people in this area. Anyway, another thing to think about is, and I've been telling you that the Democrats are just enraged. They are, and there's these outliers, and a Democratic operative spoke about the American Bridge on the, and is part of the 21st Century Group, and it was founded by David Brock and funded by the liberal billionaire George Soros. Well, anyway, this gentleman was basically arrested for trying to attack a Nevada GOP gubernatorial nominee. And the funny thing is, because this person, you know, jerked on her arm and ended up bruising her arms and I guess neck and so forth, the funny thing is that he's attacking the establishment GOP person who's running for office. In other words, this person is not really the threat in Nevada to the progressive game, because the establishment Republicans are not a real threat. Now, I tell you, Ryan Bundy is a real threat to the progressive and the establishment, because he is a constitutionalist, and that's why we're supporting Ryan Bundy. I would love to get him on. I've been trying to, you know, connect with him so that we could do a Skype interview, and we're getting down to the wire. And anyway, I just find the irony out there that Laxalt, or Adam Laxalt, I think that's his, how do you spell it, speak or pronounce his name, and I'm bad with names, as you know that, and the establishment and those Republicans or rhinos and the left, they're not that much different. And so it just, why? It gives you something to think about. Why are they out there doing this when apparently they don't want any level of control to get lost? They want to make sure that they have full control so that you and I can be finally moved into that space of being compelled to do everything, or they just get rid of us. And as a matter of fact, I even talked about this yesterday, because I've talked a lot about China. And you know this Fan Bingbing, who's this Chinese star, that's her name. She apparently is going to have this movie that they've been in the process of, you know, releasing for a long time. And she was in this movie with Bruce Willis, by the way. But apparently she disappeared and had been convicted on tax evasion charges, and so she's in some prison in China somewhere. And the movie director said that basically, you know, they've been trying, I think it's like 6 years they've been trying to get this movie out, and they've not been able to do it. And I don't know if some of the money that she was supposedly to make was part of that release, because, you know, sometimes stars get a little bit of the box office take. I don't know. But the movie director posted on her blog Wednesday, it's time to let go after 8 years. So they've been working on this film for 8 years. He says, it's time to let go. Let's get this movie out. And so the apparently the Chinese tax authorities claim that she owes $130 million. And I'm going, wow. I mean, that's a lot of money for a relatively new popular person in China. I don't know if the Chinese stars make that or Hollywood, but for somebody that's just starting off, that's pretty good pay just in taxes, unless their taxation is that oppressive. And it probably is. But anyway, she basically made a post after her disappearance, and that post basically stated that I am unworthy of the trust of society and let down the fans who love me. And to me, that really reeks like a government dictated type of message. And we'll be back a little bit more on this, as well as bubble wrapping parenting. And we'll be right back. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. So before I move off of this topic of Fan Bing Bing and what's going on, I just try to imagine, you know, who's the most popular star? Who's the most popular opulent, whether it be a football player, basketball player? I mean, if you consider somebody that is one of the nation's top stars, all of a sudden just goes away because the government has taken him into custody. This goes beyond what you can fathom, because it's like the press can't get a word. I mean, the liberties that we enjoy with access, with, you know, innocent until proven guilty and so forth, and how it goes down in both Britain and any other country but here. Why is it that the left want to destroy this? Obviously, as I've been telling you, they are wired. They consider information, they consider liberties and freedom to be the greatest threat to what they are trying to do. Well, anyway, Fan Bing Bing made a couple of comments, and one of them was, I will try my best to overcome all difficulties and raise funds to pay back taxes and fines And again, that last shot saying, I am unworthy of the trust of the society and let down the fans who love me. You can tell she's either been given the rubber hose treatment. That is a dictated message coming from the government. And nobody has access to find out what level of duress, what's been happening to her. And nobody really dares to press the Chinese government. You know, everybody is hammering about this foreign news contributor for the Washington Post that supposedly the Saudis killed. This is a far more, to me, this is a far more threat, because this person isn't even an ideologue like that journalist is. This person is just simply an entertainer that has went away because supposedly they haven't paid taxes. Well, you know, what do you want to do if you want to destroy a family? You know, well, I should say after a divorce, and divorces kind of do destroy families. What do you want to do in making that situation worse? Well, incarcerate that young man who's not able to pay the full burden of his child support, or what have you. I mean, that in itself makes a bigger impact, because it's not like the state can make up the difference. What we need to do is we need to incentivize people to, you know, actually fulfill their obligations and so forth. But anyway, this goes back to the concept of government as being way too burdensome, as I was talking about with Adam Smith as well as Thomas Jefferson. I mean, government should not, you know, be taking that much of our property. Do I need to revisit that article from James Madison regarding property? I don't know. But I will say this, it looks like there was a bad turn this week for the deep state, because apparently Natalie Mayflower Sowers Edwards, or can I buy another name, Natalie seemed to have been caught with all sorts of leaks out of the Treasury Department. Apparently she was in the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. And so she was caught leaking suspicious activity reports, intelligence reports, and internal memorandums and so forth to reporters. And like I said, it's just obvious that she was a good soldier for the resistance in trying to thwart what Trump has been trying to do. Something else to think about, and I talked about this the other day, but and I want to give you a compare and contrast here. If you understand what happened in India, India lifted its ban. The government lifted the ban on women, females, being able to enter into the Sabarimala temple, and I probably mispronounced that, but this is holy ground where for centuries, women have been forbidden to enter while they're during the menstrual age. And that's because Hinduism regards menstruating women as unclean and bars them from participating in these religious rituals. And what I'm trying to do is, I'm not just trying to poke anybody in the eye or anything like that. What I'm trying to do is get you to compare and contrast in cultures. Here in America, you know, at the turn of the century, it was, you know, at the 1880s, 1890s, as they were starting to really unveil communism here in America, it was a very well-kept secret that their intent was to promote, you know, sexual perversion, to promote homosexual marriage, and all those types of things. And if that would have been exposed, I think those people probably would have been taken out, you know, keel-hauled, tarred and feathered. And if they would have survived both of those, they probably would have then killed them, because there was just no way back in those days our society was going to support that type of perversion. And so what they did here in America was they slowly shifted the sands underneath our feet, and they slowly turned up the water. And this is called the boiling of the frog methodology. And I think you've heard of this before. What's interesting is apparently the progressives in operating in these other cultures aren't worried about having to boil the frog. And why is that? Because they know they're working in autocratic societies where liberty is not ingrained. Even though India may seem like a very you know, harmonious type of, you know, people, culture, and so forth with each other and all of that. They're making these last minute cultural shifts that are creating shockwaves, but they know that they can dispel those shockwaves within a matter of weeks or months. They'll be gone by suppression. They can't do that here in America. They literally are forced to have to change our paradigms and get us to accept by, you know, shaming people, using, and they do it gradually. Remember that Matthew Shepard case? I haven't had the chance to talk yet. I'm going to be talking to John Burberry about this Matthew Shepard case and the truth of that. You know, most people thought that that was all about homosexuality and they left this poor homosexual kid out to die. There's a book that actually got released that actually talked about that was a meth deal. It was a drug deal that went bad. And so I want to bring that information out because that information is pretty well known right there in Wyoming, but it just seems to be completely suppressed by the mainstream media. And there are reasons for that. Thomas Sowell talks about this in one of his cultural books. I don't know if it's the Society and the Intelligentsia or something like that. I'll have to look up the book and tell you which book it was. But he identifies how dangerous these progressives are as they start controlling society because they want to control every whit of information. They want to make sure that if it supports their cause, it leads. And if it doesn't support their cause, it is completely suppressed. And they want to bury it, destroy all the information, and make sure you never find out about it. That's how good and honorable these people are. That's how hardwired they are in trying to take control of our world, our lives, and every facet of our lives. So moving on, before I completely run out of time again, because I do want to get into Hamilton and bubble wrap parenting. And so something else to think about, and I don't know if you've heard, but Stephen Hawking, who is considered one of the world's most smartest men ever, actually it comes out to be one of the posthumously most dumbest people we've ever discovered. And that's because he just literally, his last book that's getting published is literally asserting the fact that there is no God, there is no divine will or anything like that. And obviously, he is a man that has, you know, is unable to find what every other human being actually possesses. And I'm sure that those of you listening understand the principle of faith and understand how applying faith can literally move mountains when you have actually applied that and when you seek those types of answers. And here was a person that actually either overcame or convinced himself of overcoming all of those types of things because of, I don't know, the endowments that he had won and so forth, but he completely lost. I mean, because there's no doubt in my mind, there were points in his life that it was sustained by faith. But apparently all of those things were washed away as the godless secularists continued to pour money into his endowments and so forth. And so he became the final cheerleader for those who paid him. And remember the old adage, he who pays the piper calls the tune. One last thing that I want to get into, it appears that North Korea is not wanting to play, and or South Korea, the Koreans are not playing in this refugee game. And specifically in South Korea, there were some Yemenis that were fleeing, seeking asylum, and everybody has to take their pound of flesh here. And so these Yemenis were taken to a South Korean resort island where they were able to arrive visa-free. And now this has sparked this huge protest in Korea. And I'm going, well, there you go. Apparently, it is not just America who is anti-diverse, because if you look at Korea, they have no diversity. I believe it's predominantly Korean in Korea. And so what is going on? Why is it that we keep on being guilted for trying to, you know, hold up one, the uniquenesses and the things that attribute America to being great, and those things are being liberty, a land of laws, and so forth. Remember, we are living by the rule of law until they finally win and force us to live by the rule of rumor. With that, I've got a hard break, and I'm going to come back, and I've got one more insidious little thing, but I will be getting into the Hamilton and bubble wrap parenting for you. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so I've talked about bubble wrap parenting, and this last story I have kind of alludes to what happens when some people actually do bubble wrap parenting. And I don't know why I've got that going. But I do know that I have, that's got to be played a little bit later. So forgive me on that. Anyway, bubble wrap parenting is when people try to literally create a condition so that their children will actually be kind of guarded and or protected from harm, but it won't necessarily require that they actually do, you know, a lot of effort in watching their children. And so Carol Edwin Spiney, who was the famous person who played Big Bird, had passed away. And I don't know if you remember, but most people listening to this have probably heard of Big Bird, probably had plenty of time where they were so thankful that Sesame Street came along so that they could just turn the tube on and put their kids in front of the television and not have to worry. It's kind of like putting them in bubble wrap. Okay, there you go. That's kind of safe. I will tell you, if you actually go through the details of what Sesame Street and the ideals that they promoted, they were very progressive. They were a socialist. They were leaning towards collectivism and so forth. And I'm just kind of boilerplating this. But the fact of the matter is, now that this, because old people still had a bit of sensitivity towards, you know, literally telling you, well, communism, the Labor Party and those types of things, you know, they don't want to show their hand. They're not as brazen. And that's because they understood the little bit of gap that they've had from when they grew up to what they're introducing at this point in time. The reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, Big Bird's not going to die just because Mr. Spiny died. They're going to replace him. And I'm telling you that the people that they start replacing, all of these people that have been working in moving our society to the left, they're going to replace them with even hardcore leftists, and it is going to be very brazen and in your face. We are facing an ideological warfare that is just, I don't think you can fathom this. There's never been a case in history where ideology and that level of warfare, civil war, whatever you want to call it, is going to be in our face in such a dramatic way. But how does this have to do with bubble wrap and Hamilton? Well, so Alexander Hamilton wrote the Federalist Papers. He was a supporter of the Constitution during the ratification process, and then he was an assailant against the Constitution afterwards. And so one of the things that he stated, and this was in Federalist Paper number 85, and I've cited this before, but I want to put this into context for you because I've talked about this, and by the way, in about 2 months, just about 2 months, we'll be celebrating the Bill of Rights Day. And so I want you to understand that supposedly the Bill of Rights was this barrier that was put in place to protect us. And what Hamilton said in Federalist Paper number 45 or 85, he says, "We may safely rely on the disposition of the state legislators to erect barriers against the encroachments of the national authority. If the foregoing argument is a fallacy, certain it is that I am myself deceived by it, for it is in my conception that of those rare instances in which a political truth can be brought to the test of a mathematical demonstration." In other words, he's just saying, this is just going to happen because that's what they're going to do. They're not going to allow the federal government. And I believe that this was a red herring that he threw out there. But what there was some truth to this, because the states should have created barriers to keeping the federal government from encroaching into their roles, responsibilities, and powers. And the Bill of Rights, I believe, was that bubble wrap. I believe, and if you understand the Bill of Rights, the first eight are really kind of more towards restricting the federal government, and as well as kind of restricting the federal government's ability to inject itself into our lives and into the state government's lives. The 9th and 10th Bill of Rights, those two amendments literally drew the line that anything that was not delegated and all powers not defined were reserved to the states and the people. I mean, it was pretty clear in those two amendments. And those two amendments are probably the only amendments that really created a defined line. But the problem was that they weren't really a barrier without a process and or mechanism within each of the states to actually engage the federal government every time it overstepped its bounds. And so the problem also was that they didn't know how to deal with the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court kept on supporting, surprise, the younger brother, the little brother, the Supreme Court, which is supposedly the weakest of the three branches, kept on supporting the big bully, the Congress and or the president, in taking the powers from the states. And so I can't believe that, you know, when we believe that we've got this layer, the Bill of Rights and this supposedly protection from them being able to intrude and inflicting, you know, all sorts of things, whether that be illegal search and seizure and those types of things against us. And you can see that they've been walking all over these amendments. The fact of the matter is that we kind of created a false security in believing by just having those amendments in place. I believe that had we not put those Bill of Rights and even those last two amendments, as strong and as powerful as that they were, I believe that the only mechanism that would have kept the federal government in check was a very active and very jealous state governments, that the state governments should not have been so blanketedly trusting of the federal government. These barriers that they should have created that they didn't create is literally the failure of our framers that were left in the state governments. As I've said, when they created this new national government, the best and the brightest went from the states to this new national government. And there was all sorts of good feelings and harmony. And boy, you know, America was great at that point in time. The problem was that they didn't want to insult these men that were representing them at the national level by creating barriers, which they should have anyway. And as a matter of fact, I think in hindsight, Madison and all the rest of them at this point in time, if I could summon them back from the grave, they would have said, yeah, you know, we really messed up. And they really messed up because they had such an implicit trust upon us that they should have created barriers. They should have created mechanisms to ensure that the federal government couldn't get away and run rickshaw over us. And so with what I'm trying to say is when you put your child and you wrap your child in bubble wrap, yeah, you protect your child from being able to harm themselves, but you create this paradigm upon your child that they are indestructible, that they can go off at that regardless of their actions, there are no consequences. And that is a big fallacy, so that when they grow up and all of a sudden they, you know, they no longer have bubble wrap, they end up realizing that playing chicken with a car has consequences, or doing things, you know, embezzling money has consequences, doing bad things have consequences. We cannot enable bad behavior. And what ended up happening in this great experiment was that they actually did enable bad behavior in allowing the Supreme Court to start making rulings. And actually, I'm going to have to put this on both Jefferson and Madison, because they were both presidents when John Marshall started making rulings. I will tell you, there is no doubt in my mind that Madison and Jefferson did not see the threat in John Marshall's rulings that he was making at the time. And I can pull those things up as well. Marbury v. Madison in 1803, Fletcher v. Peck in 1810, Sturgis v. Crown and Shield in 1819. I mean, those three right there were kind of underneath Madison, Jefferson, and Monroe's purviews, correct? And so why is it that Madison didn't speak out about how John Marshall was asserting the federal government supremacy in these things? Because first off, case law was not a part of the Constitution. They knew that there was no such thing as footings, but they didn't realize that lawyers down the way would pull out these rulings and create footings and basically bamboozle America and the rest of the republic into believing that there's this thing called constitutional law, and getting people to believe that there's case law precedents and the whole things that are applied in common law at the state level for the state laws were now applied within the Constitution. And I've told you and told you and told you, and actually I've read it out of the ratification debates, that the Constitution does not establish any laws. It was left to the states to how the states wanted to dictate laws themselves, but the Constitution itself was a contract. It did not establish case law. It did not establish precedents, and it did not allow the juries, or I should say the jurists of the Supreme Court, to be able to persuade the direction and decisions and make something that was never identified as constitutional, constitutional. Had the framers put that on the table to the states, had the states actually looked at that and digested what they were saying, there's no doubt in my mind that the states literally would have rejected the Constitution on that premise altogether. And I am just out to tell you that we literally have been bamboozled. And with that, I need to get going because I know I am out of time. And so God bless. And I am G.R. Mobley. I am reclaiming the Republic with your help. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much.